Hello and welcome to Digital Insights, featuring topics from the BoagWorld.com blog. My name is Paul Boag, and on this podcast I offer advice on user experience and digital transformation. And today I want to talk to you about creating your site's information architecture, because let's be honest, creating an information architecture is a dangerous business. Too often it ends up being structured around organizational silos rather than users' mental model. But there is a process that you can use that will prevent this from happening. So many things can go wrong, can't it, when creating an information architecture? Often it turns into a political battleground between rival departments, each seeking to have their area of responsibility highlighted at the highest level of the site. Then, of course, there's a tendency for organizations to structure their information architecture around those departmental silos. After all, this makes it so much easier to divide up the site between the related departments. Finally, many of us cram our information architecture with jargon and product names that the majority of users just don't know. In short, organizations often ignore user needs when it comes to the creation of information architecture. Fortunately, it doesn't need to be this way. We just need to start from a different premise. Most websites begin life with the question, what do we want to say? However, to ensure a site is user-centric, we need to start with the question, what do users want to know? That shifts the emphasis and will make all the difference in the world to both the information architecture and the content itself. So next time you kick off a project, start by gathering the questions and tasks that users wish to complete on the website. Some internal brainstorming will be enough to get you started, but don't stop there. Also look at site analytics and in particular search terms that people use on your site. That will help you further uncover questions users might be asking. Running a simple survey on your existing website is also a useful way of gathering insights into what users wish to do or what questions they need answered. You could also try looking at social media channels for this. Finally, running workshop sessions where you ask users to brainstorm questions or tasks that they might have will further expand your list. The result of all this research should be an impressively long list of potential things that somebody might want to do or know when visiting your website. However, not all questions and tasks are equal. Some things will be more important to users than others, and it's essential that you identify what these are, as this will inform your visual hierarchy and site information architecture. That is where top task analysis comes in. Top task analysis is a process developed by Jerry McGovern to help identify the things that most users care about when they visit your website. Jerry discovered that the majority of users only care about a small subset of content that exists on your site. However, they often find it hard to locate that content because they're distracted by the plethora of other information. To avoid this problem, we need to identify the top tasks, the things that users most care about and want to know. The first step in top task analysis is to gather all the potential tasks that a user might wish to complete. That's what we did in the first step that we've just discussed. Following that, we need to reduce that list down to something a little bit more manageable. Creating that short list of potential tasks and questions is principally about removing duplicates and combining overlaps. Also, try and avoid those things that aren't really a task or a question. Typical examples might be knowledge base, which is too broad to actually be meaningful. Finally, keep your tasks universal. Don't start adding tasks and questions specific to any individual audience, at least not at this stage. Your final shortlist will vary in length, but try to keep it under 100 items if at all possible. This is because the next step is to survey users to find out which ones they care about the most. Typically, that involves either posting a survey via your website and social media or sending out an email. In either case, you're asking participants to rank their top five tasks by giving five to the most important, four to the next most important, and so on. At face value, this seems like madness, doesn't it? Asking a user to select from potentially 100 different options and rank them seems like too much, and in a sense, you are correct in saying that. The reason this approach works is the very fact that it overwhelms users. There's just too much information to go through each result individually and assess whether it matters or not to them. Instead, they're forced to ask themselves what they want to do and then scan the list to see if they can find it. And that prevents the tasks from influencing what the user actually chooses. What you will find when you look at the results is that only a small proportion of the tasks get the vast majority of votes. These are your top tasks, and they are the elements that you will build your information architecture around. They're also what we will be using when we carry out a card sorting exercise. You see, with our list of tasks prioritized, it's now time to start structuring an information architecture around them. But instead of us trying to do what we can to guess what the user might want, we instead involve the user in the process through card sorting exercises. If you haven't done card sorting before, don't worry. It's very straightforward. The first step is simply to print out no more than 30 top tasks onto separate index cards. Use the top 30 from the list you created when you did the top task analysis. Next, we're going to ask users to sort those cards into groups. They can sort their cards any way that makes sense to them. Now, you could use an online tool like Optimal Sort to do this, or you can do it in person, either individually or in groups. Once you've sorted the cards into piles, you then ask them to label those groups into whatever with whatever title makes most sense to them. That will give you some inspiration for the labeling of sections in your information architecture. Regarding how many people you should do this exercise with, well, that very much depends on the time available to you. Even doing this activity with 5 or 6 people is better than nothing, but the more people you survey, the better the results will be. An open card sorting session won't leave you with a perfect top-level information architecture, but it will leave you with a lot more information about how users view things and give you some ideas about how you might want to label the sections. So, with your open card sorting done, we're now going to draft an information architecture based on what we've learned. Now, that's not going to be an exact science, but the open card sorting exercise should help you avoid some common pitfalls of making the information architecture too organizationally centric. It will also give you some ammunition to combat any political pressure you're under. Where possible, use the labeling and groupings created by users in the card sorting exercise, but don't feel constrained by it. You will have more tasks and questions to organize than you showed users, so some changes will be required. Once you've created a draft information architecture, you can now validate its effectiveness with users by doing another card sorting exercise. But this time, we're going to take a slightly different approach. Instead of our previous approach, we're going to do what's called a closed card sorting exercise. And that differs from the previous approach we used. That's because we're going to print out more cards for a start. Feel free to print out as many as 60 cards, each with a task or question printed on them. Now we're going to ask users to organize those cards again like we did before, but this time we're going to ask them to arrange those cards into a series of groups that we have predefined at the start of the exercise. Each bucket, if you like, will relate to a top-level section of the website. By doing this, we can validate whether our top-level information architecture matches the user's mental model. If the user finds that they is putting their index cards in the same groups as we intended, then we know that our information architecture works. If they're putting them elsewhere, we know we've still got some work to do. Admittedly, the process that I've outlined here is going to take longer than just sitting down and taking a guess at the best approach. But in the long term, it will pay dividends. Not only will it save you time in endless debates that should about what should appear at the top level of your site, but it will also ensure users can find the answers that they are looking for about your products and services.